John chapter 10. And also I'm going to be using portions from the 19th chapter of Luke and the 13th chapter of Acts. Verse 9 of chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the preaching of God's word. We recognize that preaching is really only possible when the Holy Spirit is present to touch the speaker and the hearers. And so open my heart this morning to preach and open our hearts for the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Either abundant life is possible and is the norm for Christian living, or Jesus miserably failed and he was frustrated in his mission, for he states in this text this morning that he came that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. And yet, in the practical sense, matter of fact, it seems to me that many, if not most, professing Christians are not particularly excited and thrilled living in abundance. I'm not speaking about some giddy aspect of life. It seems like every time I come into a situation of preaching on abundance, I have to preach in spite of circumstances instead of from a state of euphoria. But this abundance is practical and real, or else Jesus failed. That's the point I want to make this morning. And I believe that it is for us. But I want us to see this morning through this brief message that the way involves more than just the door. My outline is this. Jesus is the door. Jesus also is the way of choices into abundance, and then just a practical application of how it works from the book of Acts. Abundance in action. I think, without question, all the evangelical churches do a very good job of proclaiming Christ as the doorway into abundant life. Wherever the Bible is honored and wherever the blood of Christ is honored, from those pulpits you hear, how to get into the way, how to enter the door, some variation of the four laws, or the five laws. We Nazarenes had to go one up on them. Starting with God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And by the way, that follows the plan of systematic theology, I believe. And then your sins have separated between you and a holy God. And Jesus has bridged this gap through the cross. And the fourth step is that you must personally receive this gift. And yet, don't want to minimize that either. Let me just say that the doorway is important. And we should know our own personal version of the four laws. We should know how to bring a person face to face with the fact that they must enter into this life. And yet, this is not one of those they lived happily ever after type of story. I think very often when it comes to the abundant life, we get the idea that a trip, or in our case, two trips to the altar, and immediately we begin to grow like some kind of a weed, and nothing can stop us. We're going into this abundance. And yet nothing could be farther from the truth, for there's nothing automatic about it. We need to abide in the vine, and yet we need all of these disciplines. I'm not preaching this morning salvation of abundance through works. We're saved by grace through faith, and we are sanctified by faith, and we grow by faith. And yet it is a process that comes to us by faithful choices. And so I'm going to leave my original text this morning and go now to the 19th chapter of Luke. And you want to turn right along with me there. I'll just read a couple of verses to introduce this. Verse 12 and 13, speaking about the choices that lead to abundance. Verse 12, and he said, therefore, this is a parable of Jesus, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And then we'll skip over the rest. You know that story. But verses 20 through 26, what I'm speaking about here now. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. I remember hearing that read when I was a little kid, and I used to think, boy, that wasn't fair. Jesus goes on to say, for I say unto you in the parable, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. This is an interesting parable. By the way, you can contrast this with the parable of the talents over in the 25th chapter of Matthew. And each of these teach us something about the way that God gives to us eternal life. In Matthew, remember, one was given 5 and one was given 2, one was given 1. There was a difference of talents. Here there are 10, and each receives exactly the same, 1. And putting these two parables together, for they really could be one, we see that maybe life didn't deal us all the same thing, but in one sense, God has given to each of us who are Christians, 1 life. And from where we stand, it seems like a great deal of difference between, say, a millionaire and the way you live and then the way some poor African Nazarene may have to live, or somebody who doesn't have much of this world's goods. And yet, from God's standpoint, from eternity's standpoint, there's not too much difference. And the important thing is that the choices that we make. And so, abundant life never just happens. We can't just wrap up our faith in a napkin and put it off in the backyard some way and come to church and go through the motions, but we have to get out into the highways and the byways. And by a deliberate choice of saying, Lord, I will do your will. I will take the life that you've given to me and I will give it back to you. By this result of deliberate choice, carrying out our commitment to God, that abundance comes. And so there's a doorway to abundance that comes through accepting the Lord Jesus as Savior. And yes, there's a doorway that comes through even consecrating our all to God. But then this doorway must become a way of choices day by day. I want to get into this 13th chapter of Acts to see how a church that was really functioning and really had the abundant life was doing the job. Acts chapter 13, the realization of abundance. We'll see some of this abundant life in action. Just a brief passage. Really, this is not probably the heart of what Paul was, or what Luke was telling us here. Acts chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And I could go on and read some more. Verse 9 says, They were filled with the Holy Spirit again. But this shows some of the choices in the abundant life, and some of this abundant life in action. It says here that the church was doing fine, but this was the beginning of the explosion westward of the church and of the gospel. And it says that this began in times of worship and regular praise. As it says in some translations, as they ministered to the Lord. In some translations it says, as they worshiped, as they were worshiping God and praying. Along the line of regular, faithful obedience. I believe it was Dr. R.T. Williams that said, to a class of young ministers being ordained, if you ever see a real miracle in the course of your ministry, the chances are it will be along the lines of faithful service. And there are many miracles that can be done in an instant. I believe God is perfectly capable of doing many spectacular things and healings. And yet the greatest miracles of all, God himself can't do in an instant. The greatest miracle that there is a person who is like Jesus Christ, a person who has been a sinner, who has been worthless to humanity, and by the grace of God has been changed and transformed and cultivated and has grown and has not only life but has come to the life of abundance until God the Father is glorified through his abiding in Christ. He has been trimmed and cleaned, and now he has become fruitful. And that thing cannot happen in 30 minutes. Even though we've been trained and cultured to just expect it, by the time the commercial comes on, the whole thing's all over. It doesn't work that way in Christian faith. And so this great miracle, probably the reason that you and I are saved today, Paul coming this way eventually, was as the church was just going about doing its faithful thing. It was ministering to the Lord, fasting. That's something very few of us know anything about. But as they were going along the line of faithful service, in the course of their usual obedience, the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And then, it's interesting here, the Holy Spirit spoke, and so what did they do? Verse 3, they prayed and fasted about the decision. They felt impressed that this was truly the will of the Lord. And so they said, well, let's pray about it again, and let's fast about it. Let's just believe God. I believe God could still lead us. I believe that in answer to prayer and to fasting, that God could definitely guide and lead us, that we could see genuine moving, genuine revival, genuine moving in our community. This could be a year of revival. And our life choices should not be made lightly or without consultation with the Lord Jesus. And here were people who, many of them had been sanctified on the day of the original day of Pentecost. They had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet they carried out that eternal yea, as Dean Monroe taught us to say, with a daily yes of consecrated living. I think very often we get so busy doing the Lord's work that we don't even take the time to pray and to fast over daily decisions. And we take for granted that because we've said an eternal yes, that we don't have to, in a practical sense, give him the things that are bothering us, when really this is the way that the Holy Spirit cultivates abundance in our lives. And a lot of saved and sanctified people have come into this church this morning bearing burdens and concerns and cares that can either be a weight to you or can be a stepping stone according to what you do with it in your life. And you can go out with that same burden, or you can fast and pray and minister to the Lord and say, now what do you want me to do? I am open. I'll do anything you want me to do. You show me what you want me to do. And I challenge you to do that. And the Lord will help you to give your agony, to give your burden, to give your heartache, to give whatever it is. Give it to the Lord. Say, I belong to you. Take my burdens too. I really haven't geared in as pastor till I know all of you, but I know some of you. And I know some of the heartaches you've been going through. This past week, my heart's been going with you. And I know my own heartaches and burdens too. I'm not preaching abundant life out of some detached sense of the fact that, you know, when you get saved and sanctified, everything is just hunky-dory and rose, bed of roses. But I am saying this, that when we give God life as it comes to us and pray about it, the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit guides. And if he fails to, I'll quit preaching. I'll just fold up my Bible and I'll just get out of the ministry. If you can give everything you've got to the Lord and dedicate it to him and be open to him and say, I'll show you. You show me what to do and I'll obey. I believe in the integrity of God and I believe in the integrity of his word so much that if he doesn't come with life and with abundance, I'll shut my mouth and quit preaching. For he's said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We must see, too, that we don't just automatically get it by saying, Lord, you've sanctified me, now bring the abundance on. We have to have a willingness to make the choices day by day. I'd like to close this message this morning with a challenge to test the reality of abundant living that comes from accepting the practical lordship of Jesus by his Holy Spirit. It's one thing doctrinally to say, yes, I'm saved and sanctified. And it's another thing in practical living to submit the day to the Lord. I wonder if you'd bow your heads with me and let me pray with you and pray for you as your pastor this morning. Father, there's some older people with families like me here this morning that can say, I can't give you a whole life, but I want you to know, Lord, that I'll be on call with you every day that I live. And in the burdens that come from raising a family, in the burdens that come from the heartaches, and in the burdens that come from the challenges, you show me what to do and I'll do it. I pray, Lord, for those people that seem locked in to situations. I pray for those people, Lord, that have been going through a hard place. Help them to see that Jesus' abundant life is not just for the sunny days, but it works in the furnace. And we lift these people to you. And then, our Father, there may be some here this morning that feel God's call to special full-time service. There may be somebody here that's wrestling with a call. We realize, Father, that God doesn't require a double standard, and all Christians qualify for abundant life the same way. But, Lord, if the Holy Spirit is speaking like he was in this 13th chapter of Acts and saying, separate me, this young person, we pray that you will seal it this morning. And our Father, we pray that each of us here may desire God's will more than anything else and give us the grace to make the choices day by day. And we'll give you the praise. Amen. If you're willing, you can have abundant life. I just feel like saying, Lord, here's a church family that wants to qualify for your rich abundance. And help us each one to literally, practically give our day-by-day living and faith. Say to the Holy Spirit, separate me for your service.